This Fred and Jeff Show podcast is brought to you by Five Star Pest Control, Anthony's Cigar Emporium, and Arizona Party Rental.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
That is right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you can even subscribe to the grand old tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes. Jeffrey.
Fred.
Raise the Jolly Roger.
Yeah, baby!
I never... ever thought that in my lifetime, or quite frankly, in anybody's lifetime, I would ever get to see or hear about the Pirates making the playoffs.
Pittsburgh Pirates going to the postseason. It's a beautiful thing. There's no, like Chicago, our poor friends out there from Chicago, there's no curse of the Billy Goat. I lovingly refer to it as the curse of Sid Bream, but you have to be a Braves or a Pirate fan to know that one. But yeah, they're going to the postseason. It's pretty
exciting. You're probably the only person who knows that.
Whatever. Whatever.
So lots of cool stuff going on.
Dude, guess what?
You got new
glasses? So last Sunday, I got new reading glasses, yeah. Hmm. Thanks to my friends at Alvernon Optical. Last Sunday, we went to San Ignacio.
Oh, that's right.
Down in Mexico.
With Big Jim and Bunny Fontana. And...
absolutely. Mom and Dad and a host of people who are, you know, who love the Sonoran Desert. And we hung out at the church there, had a big... birthday party for Chata, the lady that holds the keys to the church. Met Father Lopez, who's a Carmelite.
And a South Point
went
grad.
South Point grad. Went to school with our Aunt Terry. But it was fantastic. Just a great little day trip going down into Sonora, meeting some wonderful people down there.
Now, what was it like going down with some of the guys who created the old Kino Tour program?
Pretty amazing, because the stories that these guys shared...
I mean, it doesn't even exist anymore.
Well, no, the stories are still there.
No, but I mean the program. But
the program's it's not around anymore, and these guys have so much history that you just ask them a simple question, and they can wax on poetically forever, and it's not, you know, it's not stuff that bores you. It's really interesting stuff. But... you know, the funny thing that I learned, I introduced myself to the people sitting behind me in the bus, and they were born in Barrio Hollywood. And the husband, a guy named Rupert, kept teasing his wife. He goes, no, you were born in Barrio, it's the Barrio Armpit. I think it's Sabaca. Barrio Sabaca. And she kept hitting him. She goes, I wasn't born in the armpit. And sure enough, Fred, there's a barrio in Tucson named Barrio Sabaca, which stands for Barrio Armpit.
Mean translated.
Armpit, like an armpit.
Not stands for, when you translate it.
The means armpit neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so Big Jim said, well, you know, we're unsure if it's a slight on the people that live in that neighborhood, or if it's because the neighborhood is got a crescent shape to it, kind of like the underside of an arm. But it was very amusing. It was a lot of fun hanging out with these folks.
Yeah, so if people don't remember, or we should tell them, the old Kino Mission Tours, Father Kino, who founded San Javier, built a church down there.
Right. No, he did not build a church down there.
Well,
He built a little church down there.
And then it was expanded.
Right. And then they kicked the Jesuits out, and the Franciscans came in, and the Franciscans built the big church.
Right. But he founded the church down there.
Correct.
Anyways, he founded a lot of churches from Tucson down into northern Mexico, and there used to be a tour that went down. It was started by Big Jim Griffith and Bunny Fontana and Ernesto Portillo and our granddad and all of their respective wives, who probably actually started it on their own and just, you know, gave the guys the credit. Okay. Or the guys took the credit.
Right.
There was all these brilliant tours and stories about all the trips down there, talking about the history of Father Kino going down and building these churches. So
Yeah, thanks, Fred. Great.
You're welcome.
That's great. That's great.
All right, so
anything locally going on now?
No, nothing, Jeffrey.
Nothing at all?
Every year, every week we have to dredge something up.
All You're right, so funny.
Starting this week, Butterfly Magic is happening at the Tucson Botanical Gardens, and actually runs through April 30th, but they're importing butterflies from all sorts of places and they're importing them as larvae. And I would say this wrong, crystallises.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
The plural of that.
Of a crystal. Is that a champagne?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So they are bringing those wonderful animals to the gardens, and you can watch them emerge from their cocoons and other assorted things, and that's going to be a lot of fun down there. Tucson, meet yourself, coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, we're going to have, actually, I think next week we have the folks on from Tucson Eat Yourself. I'll say it today because I probably won't say it, next week.
Because they may smack you.
They will smack me. But Tucson Meet Yourself, 40th anniversary. The cultures of Tucson all join in one happy and fattening day. Or actually,
weekend. Yeah.
So, let's see. Last week we regaled all the stuff going on at the zoo.
Right.
But Zoo-Son's coming up. We have two new grizzlies out there, the lemurs.
The lemurs.
All sorts of fun stuff going on. Mid-October, Feast with the Dearly Departed over at Tucson Botanical Gardens. They're going to have mummer painting, mariachi music, food and drinks, classes and workshops, and they're going to have their own Day of the Dead procession. and we're going to have Fonda Inslee is going to be coming on.
Right.
To talk about the Day of the Dead procession right. down on 4th Avenue.
Right.
In downtown Tucson.
Right. Right?
You have anything?
No, I mean, you're covering all the highlights. Though, as you've heard us say 100 times before, folks, get out there and meet your neighbor. All these events are for all of us to share traditions, friendships, meet new friends. And Tucson is a great place to live. The more people you know, the more commonality you find. Get out there and meet your neighbor.
The more fun you have.
The more fun you have. That's right. So get out there and meet your neighbor. Go support the zoo. Support... The Classics Car Show is coming up mid-month. The Rotary Club of Tucson is going to raise some money, have a great car show over at St. Greg's. It's just a way to get out and meet your neighbor and do a little helping out.
You know, I got to tell you something. Last week, we had a trivia question about the zoo.
Tell me something about it.
Whose mug, this is your question, whose mug graces a plaque in front of the zoo?
Yeah.
Nobody got it right.
Really?
I was very sad.
Did you get, Lou Murphy, Kringle?
Gene Reed's, a lot of Gene Reed's.
Really? A lot of Gene Reed's? Yeah.
But that's our good old dad.
Jim
on that plaque.
Yeah, that's right.
The plaza in front of the zoo, and actually it bridges the zoo and the aquatic center to the north.
Right.
Is the Jim Ronstadt Pavilion.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
Now, what does he have to do with anything?
Well, he's probably listening right now, so you better be good.
Hi, Dad.
He and Mom are two listeners.
Well, we got to let people know that Dad was a huge, huge advocate of the zoo.
He actually...
And helped it expand to its current glory.
He was the director for 20 years of the Parks and Recreation Department for Tucson. And I always like to say that, you know, when we were little kids, the zoo consisted of a spitting camel.
Spitting camel.
Billy goats. They put a big mound of dirt up, and the billy goats would crawl around up there or climb around up there. They had... a cement pond.
Crocodiles.
With crocodiles.
Or they alligators. Had, or one of the two.
Yeah. Or both.
Right.
They had hippopotamus.
Hippopotami.
Is that one? Is that a single?
I don't know.
And they had a bunny ranch.
Right.
And that was about it.
Yeah. And now look at it today.
I mean, they did have some bears and stuff, but those bears were confined into like 8x8 square boxes of chain link.
Right.
And now they have these beautiful natural habitat exhibits. It's really become it's a gorgeous, award-winning zoo.
That
and
is great.
Very proud of it and very proud of our dad who helped create that.
Yep. Amen.
So we're going to take a quick break, I think.
We are.
And then we're going to come back with Damian Klinko to talk about some really cool stuff coming out this week.
Cool. So, folks, stick around. We'll be right back with more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Don't be concerned. It will not harm you. It's only me pursuing something I'm not sure of. Across my dreams, with nets of wonder, I chase the bright, elusive butterfly of love. You might have heard my footsteps echo softly in the distance through the canyons of your mind.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
You are listening to the Fred and Jeff Show.
What?
Okay, so we're not supposed to say other things, like welcome back.
Right, right, right. But I was pretty good. You just kind of totally caught me off guard there. You're listening to the Fred and Jeff Show with your host, Fred Ronstadt, and his hilarious sidekick brother, Jeff.
Very nice.
Well, or something like that.
Yeah, and we are celebrating a whole bunch of stuff, including the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
You know what's totally off topic, but I'm so looking forward to tonight?
What?
The season, no, the whole story finale.
Series finale?
Over. Series finale of Breaking Bad. Do you watch that show?
No, I've never seen
it. Oh, my gosh. Do you watch that show, Damien?
No, I don't.
You guys are deprived.
I've never seen it. You know, I do things like read or hang out with friends.
Friend.
Smoke a cigar.
Yeah, don't oversell it.
All right, friend.
All right, well, hey, if you like Breaking Bad and are going to watch it tonight, send Fred an email, say Breaking Bad is cool, and we'll give you a dozen roses from Mayfield's Florist.
Mayfield Florist.
Mayfield Florist. Our friends, the Coleman family.
It was like add S's to everything.
Well, because there's more than one Coleman, so it's the Coleman's.
Yeah, but it's not Mayfield's.
They have multiple locations, you know.
Two.
Two is multiple, right?
I guess.
Thank you, Mr.
So multiple of what? Two?
Multiple of one.
Is it?
Two.
Oh.
So anyhow, Fred, we have fabulous guests here today.
Yes, we do. Damien Klinko, who's been on the show before, friend of the show. By the way, Damien, we last week were trying to get people to start an email campaign with Chuckleberry to get the time and temperature thing on top of the tower downtown.
I mean, the time and temperature, you know, that building was designed by the architectural firm of Place and Place. The building was designed by Lou Place. And it really was an environmentally responsive building with that big tile wall facing south. And it had that wonderful clock temperature.
Yeah, we never had to own a watch.
And then it just got turned off one day. And just quietly. So
does it work?
That's a very good question. The county's looking into it to find out what it would actually cost to get it fixed. And then we're going to try to put together a couple different financial models to see how we could get it.
Oh, so that's on the agenda.
Get it working. Yeah. I mean, we'll see if it's viable.
So Fred didn't just make that up.
Did not make it up. It was on the front page of the paper last week.
But he doesn't read the paper.
I can't read.
You just see, again, caught in a lie. Earlier you said hang out with friends and read.
Well, they read. I just hang out with them.
So, Damien Klinko, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, we're glad to have you right back. We just had your, a month and a half ago, two months ago?
It's been a while.
Has it been a while, Damien?
It's been a while.
All right, 3 months ago.
But here to promote Modernism Week.
Yeah, let's talk about Modernism Week.
So, Modernism is that great period of Tucson after World War II when the city really began to transform. Mm-hmm. In the 1930s, there were about 30,000 people. By 1960, there was over 225,000.
And that's a lot of babies.
It's a lot of babies and a lot of people moving to our community. And where they moved was sort of on the east side and up and down the major arterials. And Broadway Boulevard became really one of the backbones of our city. And all along Broadway were all these great mid-century modern buildings that were really a shift from earlier architectural styles, like Revival, that sort of were just big walls with windows sort of sprinkled into them. And it was more about a use of new materials and European ideas and big pieces of plate glass and structural systems that really were exuberant and expressed this new American optimism after World War II.
Very cool.
And so this week, Modernism Week, which is October 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, is really a celebration of our mid-century modern heritage. So to celebrate Tucson's modernism, we're hosting a series of about 30 events around the community. We have films in partnership that we're showing at the Loft.
Nice.
We have incredible cocktail parties. Chase Bank is holding a reception, the one at Broadway and Country Club on Friday, the 4th.
Oh, now the Chase Bank at Broadway and Country Club is on your poster.
It is on our poster. That building was designed by Friedman and Joe Bush in 1971, and they hired artist Philip Sanderson to actually design some of the architectural details. And that building, more than any other, I think, in our community, really raises art to architecture. So, I mean, when you walk...
More than the upside-down pyramid?
Well, the upside-down pyramid is pretty awesome, too. But that bank, when you drive by, it's monumental.
Right.
And it looks like sculpture. And it is sculpture.
Right. Yeah,
really,
it's very cool.
It's a very, very cool building. And buildings like that are the ones that we're celebrating throughout the week.
So why is this important? I mean, you know, a lot of people look at this stuff and it's like, oh, that's cool. But why is it important? Why are you bringing attention to this?
Well, one, it's part of our history. Cities in the West really have these huge booms in the modern period of housing and style and change and design. And it really affected everything in America. And it's important for Tucson for a variety of reasons. One, it's part of who we are. It's part of our culture. And it's something that we haven't really celebrated or even thought about. But two, there's an economic value in it. One, our housing stock is a lot of mid-century modern ranch houses. And, you know, the better they're cared for, the better our neighborhoods are and the safer mm-hmm. our streets are. But communities like Palm Springs have really latched on to mid-century modern design and really used it to really impact and influence the economy of those communities. 8 years ago, Palm Springs launched their Modernism Week. Today, over 35,000 people attend, and it brings in over $18 million to the Palm Springs economy annually. So if we bring even in one-tenth of that, I think we're doing a pretty good job. And last year, which was our first year, we had over 2,500 people come out to Modernism Week.
That's great.
So people are interested. And we have some incredible, incredible speakers. A lot of the events are free. You can find out all over the schedule at TucsonMod.com, which is the website. But one of the things Herman Miller is sending out from Chicago, one of their collection specialists. Herman Miller was the furniture design company that...
Oh, it's not the Herman Miller that owes me $20?
Probably not that Herman Miller. They were the ones who had worked with the Charles and Ray Eames to design those wonderful plywood bent chairs.
I just saw somebody found at a yard sale one of those chairs. They bought it for $5. $100,000 for this chair.
Yeah. You're in Tucson?
No, back east.
Wow.
Yeah, mid-century modern furniture is very hot. We actually have a mid-century modern furniture expo at Broadway in the old Table Talk building at Country Club in Broadway. So you can go and do shopping for all your wonderful mid-century modern needs. There's dealers from all over the state coming to Tucson to display some of their best furniture. We're bringing in Carol Mallory from Philadelphia. She was a Pan Am stewardess and then became a supermodel and then was in films like The Stepford Wives, and really sort of captures that sort of romanticism of the mid-century modern era. And so she'll be doing a presentation. We're doing a talk on Friday with Edward Nelson. He was an architect here in Tucson who worked for the firm of K. Nelson Wares and Cook and designed buildings like the Music Hall downtown. And he's 95, and he's really an icon of the architectural community. And so we're going to be doing a talk with him. So throughout the weekend, incredible events. There's a car show. We have a vintage trailer show.
A vintage trailer show.
So,
like streamlines?
Like hand canned hams and Airstreams.
Airstreams, yeah.
There's going to be about a dozen, and people are coming from all over the Southwest with their restored trailers to show them to the community. And that's $10, and it's just off of Plummer and Broadway. So, again, tons of events throughout the week.
And what's the web address for people to go to?
So again, it's TucsonMod.com, or you can visit the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation page, preservetucson.org, for all the types of event details you could possibly want.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome. And then we also have a home tour.
Oh, tell us about that real quick.
So so the home tour, so we've partnered this year with AIA, the Southern Arizona chapter of the American Institute of Architects, to present this home tour. And there'll be eight buildings on the home tour, five of which are mid-century modern. And one of the incredible places that are on this tour is a chapel that was designed by Paolo Solari, who designed Arcosanti. And he's an internationally recognized architect. He designed a chapel in Tucson that was really, really forgotten. So it's an incredible opportunity to see a piece of architecture that's very, very rarely open to the public. It's actually in UMC.
The
chapel is in UMC. It was built as part of the cancer center. And so it's no longer part of the hospital. It's really part of the offices. So the cancer center is opening it up for the public during the home tour.
Is that the one that's right on Pima? Elm?
Right at Elm and Campbell. And it's a beautiful, beautiful building. We also have a home designed by Bruce Goff. Bruce Goff was sort of an outside architect in the mid-20th century. He designed a lot of Art Deco buildings in Oklahoma and went on to design very highly experimental buildings all over the Midwest. And he was commissioned to design a house here in Tucson, which is it's called the Barbie House. And because of the woman who lived there, her last name was Barbie.
Not because it was pink.
No, not because it was pink. Although it does have a lot of purple and blues and turquoises. It's a really... unique and one-of-a-kind house that you will never see anything quite like ever. So it really is something
remarkable.
And where's this house? So it's up in the foothills by Ina and First.
cool.
Yeah, so we have a host of amazing things to see. If you don't know mid-century modernism, if you don't love it, you will after the weekend is done.
And earlier you were saying that most everything is...
Most of the events are free. There are a few ticketed things like films and the home tour and one or two of the cocktail parties, but the bulk of the talks and lectures are free, and it's really because of the incredible people in our community who have expertise and knowledge who are coming together to share this information that we're
so
able to
got a
do
couple
this.
Seconds. You want to recognize any of the sponsors or...
Sure. I mean, we have a ton of sponsors. Herman Miller, Citron Paint. There's so many to name.
I hate it when I do that. I hate it. All these people
there's
say thank
so
you
many.
To.
Betts Printing, the Sunshine Mile Hotel Congress, Patch and Clark, Box Hill Designs, Purdue, Chase Bank, Shaw Group, the U of A Cancer Center, Airstream Life. Yikes, I could go on and on and
got
on.
It.
But again, everybody's on our website. We couldn't do it without our incredible sponsors. They really make Modernism Week happen.
Awesome.
Well,
all right,
thanks,
folks,
Damien.
Get out there, Modernism Week. Go meet some of your neighbors and see some very cool things, some great history in Tucson. And we'll be back. We got to take our break at the bottom of the hour, but so we'll be back. Stick around for more here on The Big Show.
This is a modern world. This is the modern world.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we are back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are having just a...
grand old time.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
I'm just stunned and shocked that the Pirates are even...
Oh, stop.
They're in the playoffs.
It's a beautiful day, though. Beautiful day. But you know what? In 2 days, open enrollment starts for the healthcare exchange.
You know, I was going to bring
oh,
that up.
Oh, boy.
I was going to bring that up because I am confused. I don't know what to do, my dear brother.
Well, you should call me because we'll sit down with anybody here in the old Pueblo.
Well, who are you?
Oh, Ronstadt Insurance, of course. Myself, Shara, Jill, Carrie, Jim, we'll all sit down with folks and we'll help them navigate the process of health insurance, whether they're getting it from their employer or they're not. They have to go to the exchange. Remember, it's the law now, so you got to get health insurance. So give us a call and we'll take care of you.
It seems very confusing in a lot of ways.
It's very confusing, Fred. Very, very, very confusing.
But apparently you and your staff are not confused at all.
Well, we're confused about other things. But not about healthcare. So give us a call, folks, and we'll absolutely dial you in, 721-4848, and we'll take care of you.
All right. So let's plow on with the show.
Yeah.
So we have something happening today. The 390th Memorial Museum Foundation is back open to the public today after a little bit of a rehab and expansion. And with us in studio today, we have... Terrian, did I get that right?
That's correct.
All right. I always screw up names.
Well, you got one to go.
And Leslie Freed.
Oh, that was the easy one.
Yeah. And Terry is the executive director, and Leslie is the director of development. And you guys had a big party last night to celebrate this big renovation. How'd that go?
It was fantastic.
Your head still hurt? A little bit.
The champagne
no, we
buzz.
Had to keep our wits about us last night, but we can party now.
Yeah, now that it's over, you can just
right.
have a big sigh of relief.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about, well, first of all, Terry, let's start with you. How did you get to be a Tucsonan?
Well, I came to Tucson in 1999 with the Raytheon contingent that came in from Dallas, Texas. And I worked at the plant out there for a while, and then I decided to retire. And
you stayed.
And I stayed. That's
are you,
correct.
Are you originally from Dallas?
No, actually, I'm originally from Michigan.
So Michigan to Dallas.
I'm a transplant, right. I'm a retired Air Force guy, retired in 1989, and just decided Tucson was our home. So
good for you. What did you do in the Air Force?
I was a contracting person in the Air Force, so procurement and
all right.
that kind of thing.
Did you ever do time at Davis-Monthan?
No, I did not. I did not come to Davis-Monthan, no.
Nope. So it's all brand new to you?
All brand new to me. That's
and you
right.
got kids?
I have two kids. I have a son that is finishing up a career in the Navy. He's a pilot on helicopters. And I have a daughter that's in Colorado.
All right. And here you are. You guys are in Tucson.
That's right. And here
welcome.
We are in Tucson. Thank you.
Welcome, welcome. So tell us about this museum that you're executive directoring.
We have one of the best museums in Tucson. It's a World War II historical museum. And we focus on the courage and the sacrifice of the men who served in the bomb group during World War II. And as a kind of an overview, they flew 301 combat missions, and they flew 6 Chowhound missions, which is food drops over the starving people in Holland. It was one of the most powerful missions if you were able to talk to some of the pilots and the crew that dropped food to the starving people over in Holland. So we have that tribute to those men. We also have a B-17 Flying Fortress that's in the museum. That's a centerpiece. But again, our focus is on the men that were there, and that's the tribute that we continue that today.
Now, this plane is it one of the planes that was flown in World War II, or is it a replica, or...
No, this plane was not in World War II. It actually came off of the line at the end of World War II, so it was surplus. So it never made the war, but it had a lot of lifetime uses, and when it came to us, it was a slurry bomber out of Cody, Wyoming. So she was a firefighting unit. She flew into Davis-Monthan with a P-51 aircraft in the early 80s, and that's where she sat since then. So she's been restored to near spec specifications for a flying fortress in World War II.
Wow. So could you actually get, and are you a pilot?
No, I'm not. No.
But so could a pilot actually get in this plane and fly it off?
We could not get her started today, but I'm sure if somebody had enough zeros in their checkbook and we could put a one in front of that, we might be able to get that thing started.
Wow, that's amazing. And folks get to go right up to it and touch it and look through it and the whole nine yards?
You can go up to it and you can look inside, but you can't go inside.
Okay, so you can't climb into the cockpit.
No.
But it's all restored.
It's all restored.
That is amazing. Good for you guys.
Right.
That's quite a catch.
It is. It is quite a catch, and we are quite proud of her sitting in a museum.
So tell us about these guys. Are any of these gentlemen that were in the Air Force during this time and did these missions, are any of them still with us?
We had the pleasure of having 33 vets with us this past weekend, and they're in their 90s.
Wow.
They're not getting along too physically, but mentally they're sharp, and they're quite characters. So we had the pleasure of having them with us.
That's great. That's great.
And we also happen to have one who is with the 390th. That is a docent on Thursdays. And so he's with us every week.
Now, these
he's
guys,
90 years old.
These guys, the 33, they live in Tucson?
No, these guys came from all over around the country. They brought their sons and daughters, accompanied them, because physically they're really not able to get around, some of them, a lot, and or their wives.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great having them.
And this event is where they come to get together once a year to kind of remember the good times and the bad times.
That's correct. We have an annual reunion, and it's for our membership, and the veterans obviously are members. So we're able to have this annual reunion here in Tucson.
That's great.
Now, do you have any audio or video of these guys talking about their days during the war?
Yes, we have 120 videotaped interviews with these guys that have been done over the past years with another volunteer that comes in from California that sits down with the veterans, and if they would like to tell their story and would like to be interviewed, we have these already on DVD.
Wow.
So we have them in storage for us, and we have a lot of different kind of DVDs that are out there that tell about POWs. If you were a POW, they tell about their experience, the men that were there, as to what their experiences were during the war.
And are these videos available for the public to view?
The POW one is, and the men that were there is also. So, along with a movie called Pistol Packin' Mama is there as well.
Pistol Packin' Mama? That's a World War II? That's a movie about what these guys were up to in World War II?
It was the name of the plane, Pistol Packin' Mama.
Really?
Yes.
Very cool.
All the planes had names. You know, the guys named their planes after their sweethearts, their wives, whatever. And this is the story of the Pistol Packin' Mama.
That's great. That's great. All right. That's very cool. All right. So we have to take a super fast break because we have lots more to talk about. So folks, stick around because we're going to have lots more to share here on The Fred & Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful. And we've been sharing some great stories about the 390th Memorial Museum. And we're here with the folks from the Foundation.
At PM Air and Space.
Well, they're at PM Air and Space, but they're not actually part of that organization.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're their own independent standby. So with us, we have Terrian, who's the executive director. And we're just about to talk to Leslie Freed, who's the development director of development.
Hi.
So timid.
I'm not timid. Just quiet.
So let's talk about the 390th real quick. It's a standalone organization.
It is.
A museum.
Right. It has evolved. It started out as a very small building. It was actually on the grounds of Davis-Monthan. And the veterans started the museum just for themselves. And then it moved over to Pima Air and Space. And at the time, and I think I'm right, Terry, it was at the very end of the Pima Air and Space grounds. We're now right smack in the middle of them. But we are independent. We don't get funding from Pima Air and Space. We don't get your admission to Pima Air and Space is admission into our museum. But we depend on donations, membership, and different fundraising campaigns that we have for support.
That's fair. If people were to go out to the Pima Air and Space Museum, which is just a gorgeous, nationally, internationally recognized facility,
right,
and they come to the 390th, what would they expect to see when they walk through the doors?
Well, they would, first of all, see a magnificent painting right smack in our new lobby. It's called Top Cover, and it is kind of an iconic picture of World War II, of the contrails of the B-17 and their support, the little, they called them...
Little Friends.
Little Friends that flew air support for them because they were the fighters and the B-17s were the bombers. So they needed that support when they were going on their mission. So there's a huge painting when you first walk in, which is beautiful. We also have the leather jackets. They're called A2 jackets that the airmen wore. And they have a lot of artwork on the back, which was done by people in the different units. And these are only increasing in value as the years go on. They can sell over $1,000. And these were just the jackets that they wore, and it was something that they did to entertain themselves. The back of the jackets had different artwork on it that these men did. They weren't professional artists, per se. And we have a big display that we have received as donations. As we lose members of the 390th and their families, donate them to us because they know they'll be taken care of, well cared for, and then we share them with people on display.
To perpetuate their legacy.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Now, when you first started describing when someone comes into your part of the museum, it wasn't always like that?
No, it was basically a hangar with a library area, which was not open to the public, and an administrative office that the whole staff sat in, one office. Now we have an administrative wing. We have a very large lobby, and it's very user-friendly for visitors. Before, it wasn't so much. I mean, it was a great museum, but we have a lot of stories to tell, and we didn't have enough room to tell them. And now we do. We have a control tower in there, a mock-up of a control tower.
Kidding.
Yes, we have a Quonset hut that the men lived in. And we really want to bring depth to these people because they had lives. You know, they were kids. If you were 26, you were considered an old man in the group. And the pilots were 20, 21-year-olds, kind
wow.
of like today almost. And, you know, we think of them as kids, but they were really risking their lives every time they went up in those planes.
They were.
And we want to focus on their stories, how they lived their lives. So some of them, it was their very first time away from home, and it was they were stationed in England.
Do you have a favorite story that you like to share with folks?
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
There's got to be so many of them.
There are. I can't think of one off the top of my head, Terry. Can you?
Well, I have one that about a year ago, a lady came into the museum, rather elderly lady with two younger ladies. It happened to be their daughter, her daughter. And she said that that was me on the nose art. We had nose art at the time in the museum. It's now been taken down because we're updating it. But her husband was a pilot on the aircraft and had named it Virgin Sturgeon. And she said, that's me up there. And she said, I was quite embarrassed at the time because of the way it was portrayed. Now, you have to picture in World War II, nose art on airplanes was put a glamorous young lady up there and rather scantily clad, if any. And so this was her.
Like the Betty Page look.
Yes, yes. And so I felt a little spry at the time, and I looked down at this lady who was about 89, and I says, you know what? You don't look a bit different than that portrait right there. And, boy, she couldn't get away from me the whole time that she was there. She held on to my arm the whole time. And she was very, just absolutely a wonderful lady that told her story about what she was doing while her husband was in the war. But it was a way to honor people, if you will, in the air crews of World War II.
Yeah, these guys, they have such, I mean, they're amazing jobs they have. You know, it's like playing in the NFL. You know, if you're an offensive lineman in the NFL, there's only, you know, 80 guys in the whole world that have that job. And what these guys were doing, there were very few people that not only had that job, but they had the aptitude and the skill to perform it and actually make it through the war because they were so good at what they did. And so the fact that you guys are honoring these gentlemen, the ones that made it and the ones that didn't, by doing this, it's a great thing you're doing. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, this year is the 70th anniversary. This month, actually, is the 70th anniversary of the formation of the 390th. So
the 390th was formed specifically for the war, for World War II.
Right.
But because clearly they didn't have those types of planes earlier. And so you had your big event yesterday.
Right.
What do you have planned for the month?
To welcome the new visitors. They're here in droves, I hope.
Great.
And to hear their comments, see how you know, maybe a tweaking month, what we need to focus more on, what they really like.
Because we really haven't talked about the fact that you just opened up again. You've been closed.
We've been closed for 11 months, or shut down to the public more or less, but we've had people coming in. But, yes, we've been closed, and we're now reopening up everything that's in the museum. And so we now have an opportunity to expand and to improve upon a lot of our exhibits, as Leslie indicated.
That's great. So and the Noah's Ark that you were talking about earlier, that will find its place up in the future?
That's going to find its place, right, when funding becomes available. And as Leslie talked about, you know, we rely on the public for help to keep this dream alive.
That's awesome. The passion for what these guys did. Leslie, do you have a connection to a member in this group?
No, I don't actually. My father was a soldier in World War II, but he was in the Army, not the Air Corps. And I've always been a World War II history buff.
And this isn't your first go-around with a World War II museum, though, is it?
No, I was formerly the executive director of the El Paso Holocaust Museum, and I was there for 11 years.
And how does El Paso get a Holocaust museum of all places in the world? How did you guys put that together?
It was started by a survivor of the Holocaust who lived in El Paso. He felt like the farther away you got from
the event
that people would forget. And so he started it in 1984.
Wow. That must be a powerful, powerful place to be. Just amazing.
It is.
Yeah. And so you found your way to Tucson.
I did. I retired from that museum, and I came to Tucson. My two sons live here.
Smart kids.
Of course.
You raised them well.
Yeah, of course. And I started volunteering at the 390th, and
The rest is history.
The rest is history, yes.
That's great. So as the fund development director,
yes,
what are you responsible for?
Seeing that we get the exhibits that we want, that we keep the museum doors open, and that we show visitors a part of history that a lot of people don't know about, so that they will continue to support us.
So do you have anybody you want to say thanks to?
Absolutely. I would like to thank our sponsors for this past weekend's events, which are Lloyd Construction.
Oh, the brothers Lloyd.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes. Who are the construction people for the museum.
Great. And Brian and Bill, huh? The three Lloyd boys.
They have been amazing.
Yeah, they're
amazing.
Good guys.
M3 Engineering.
All right.
And Pima Air and Space Museum.
Absolutely.
And Wells Fargo and the Click Family Foundation.
That's wonderful. Now, there's this really good place to eat over at Pima Air and Space. I think it's called
The Flight Grill.
Flight Grill. Did they cater your event last night?
Of course. And they are amazing what they can put together.
So you go out to Pima Air and Space because it's a little bit of a drive, not too far. You know, you probably get there anywhere in town within, you know, 30 minutes.
Right.
So you get out there and don't feel like you're trapped all day because the food, the you know, everything, all the amenities are wonderful. So you could spend a great day out there, have lunch, have something to drink, and then
visit our museum.
Visit your museum.
Yes.
And we want to make sure we make sure folks know that your museum is inside.
Well, it's on the grounds.
On the grounds.
Yes.
Okay, so when you walk into Pima Air and Space, you take that right turn, you go into the museum. How do we get to where you guys are?
As soon as you walk out the main hangar, mm-hmm. you will see our museum.
Okay. So it's well lit.
Oh, yes.
All right. That's great.
Well lit.
Very prominent.
Well, it's well lit. It's got great signage. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever you want to say.
Of course.
People won't have a hard time finding it.
Not at all.
All right. Awesome.
You know, one of the great things about this type of museum is a lot of us have sort of this broad paintbrush perspective of World War II. And when you have these sort of like specialized museums, sort of the 390th, you get a really good perspective on what actually was going on.
Right. And again, you know, so much, I don't know, when I was going to school, It talked about the political aspects of World War II.
Some of the big major strategy.
Right. And you don't learn about the people who were actually there and involved.
I think anyone that has lived in this country for any amount of time has a connection to a veteran, whether it's a veteran from World War II, Vietnam, Korea, any of the wars, you know, the contemporary wars. I mean, Fred and I, we have an Uncle Oscar who turned 102 last week.
Oh, my gosh.
He fought in World War II. And he, you know, he's got stories about, you know, fighting in the Pacific, where it wasn't too much fun.
These were drinking in the Pacific.
These were watershed moments for these young men.
Absolutely. Right. And Sky Leininger, who we've had on the show, Sky's a great icon of Tucson, loves to talk about how after World War II, all these guys came to town and really changed the face of the old Pueblo. So thank you for what you guys do. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Continued success.
Come see us.
Yeah, do you guys have a website?
We do. It's www.390th.org.
All right. So, folks, great interview. Thanks again for what you guys do. 390th.org. And Fred?
Let's give away another dozen roses.
Okay.
First person who can write me a little paragraph about their incredulity about the Pirates making the playoffs at fred@fredandjeff.com. We'll get a dozen roses from Mayfield Flores.
Or if you send Fred an email that says Fred is a geek, you also get a dozen roses from Mayfield Flores. So, folks, have a great time out there. Have a great week. Enjoy the cooler weather. Get out and meet your neighbors. Tons of fun things to do. And we will see you again here next week on Fred and Jeff Show.